drivers they want to be from California. Here's Sean and Jen.
I have a very important announcement to begin today's show.
And what would that be?
Cornbread.
This is not an announcement.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. It is exciting. Show number 4.
And so, we didn't like skip a month and wait to give you show number 4. We're actually still kind of on track here.
I know. We should be doing episode number 4 somewhere around like week number 10. But
yeah,
no.
That's typically what we do. But so far, we're keeping up with this. It's amazing what happens when, you know, you've got one person that's unemployed and another that's underemployed.
Yeah.
All kinds of time.
I don't really consider myself unemployed, as I consider myself pre-retired.
Oh, well, there you are.
You know, they say that to really be free in life, you just have to do whatever you want. So that's my new motto. I'm pre-retired. Just do whatever
oh my
I
God.
Want.
Good to know. We'll see how long the electricity stays for us to do our show with and the internet and all that.
Well, you know, if nothing else, we can just do the show on my iPad anywhere we
like
can
find. Like at the Starbucks or something, right?
Anywhere we can find free Wi-Fi, which is easier than it's ever been before because there's Wi-Fi everywhere. And we have a Starbucks. I have a Starbucks gold card. In case you're wondering, you know, where the train went off the tracks, if you will, the space train, in terms of where, you know, I've put a lot of my priorities in life, stuff like that. You know, like I'm gonna turn 38 in less than 2 weeks. You know, no 401k, no retirement.
I had some of those things, but not anymore. I had to cash them out.
So none of that stuff. That's, you know, that's where other people put their priority. But I do have a Starbucks gold card, and because of that, I know I'll always have free Wi-Fi. I may not always have a place to live all day long, but up until really about 10, 11 o'clock at night, that gold card means I can live at Starbucks.
Well, there you go.
So we can definitely do our show from there. As things get more and more interesting here in pre-retirement land, speaking of work-esque things, right here on my desk, which, you know, thanks to our noise gate. Wait, here's the mouse. No one heard the mouse, but you can hear me padding these papers over here.
Yeah. Now, I clicked the mouse at the same time you said that to refresh my screen, so I may have altered things.
Oh, wait a minute. Now we've got to do another.
Negative it again.
Now we've got to do another mouse check. No, we've got to have just your mouse.
Okay.
Right, one. Wait. One. Two. Three. Go mouse. Okay, now we'll do my mouse, just my mouse solo. Ready? One, two, three, go mouse. Okay, now we have to do, we have to synchronize our mice.
No, there's no sense in that. If you're trying to see if people hear it and you synchronize them, how will they know which one of those two they were hearing? We've already tested them individually, that's fine.
Yes, but...
No,
now,
no.
Okay, no. All right. Priorities. That's the theme of the show, apparently. So here I have, right here, I have an official paper stamped with the seal of the California Secretary of State. for our actual bona fide, legitimate, existing company. So we actually have to try to make money now, because apparently as soon as you form an LLC in California, they send you an $800 bill.
Yeah. So just like that. Just so, like that, $800. So now we're even more screwed. So we really need to get like some work through that.
I guess. Fast. Well, not only that, but we need to, you know, register with the county. We need to come up with our articles of information, or whatever they're called. Statements of information. We need to have a bank account.
Well, that's not
EIN, all these things. Yeah. And then we can start actually maybe try to make money as a company, because if what I read online is accurate, this $800 fee that you pay as an LLC, there's no way that you can avoid that. It's not like you can, like when you do your business taxes, you can't go, well, I have this, I can prove to you I have an equal number of expenses, legitimate expenses, and go, okay, well, if, and then, you know, do the math and equalize that out. Like, you pay this $800. Like, you ain't.
Now, is this a one-time fee or is this an every year fee?
Oh, no, this is yearly.
Okay, so we're going to have to do more than $800 a year to, like, break even, you know?
I know, and we're already halfway through the year.
Yeah.
We should have formed this company 6 months ago.
Well, I think you were trying.
One thing that I'm glad about is, and that's true, I actually did start, you know, kind of the preliminary work on this earlier, way earlier in the year. But, you know, I'm glad in a way, because I was even thinking about doing this late last year, so imagine if we had, you know, done this in like October or November of last year. Then we would have had to pay for last year, and we would have had no time to make any money. So
yeah, that's true.
We do have some time to try and get caught up on that. But anyway, we would like to thank everybody for listening, and we are Hyper Nonsense, the podcast that comes to you straight from California. If that wasn't obvious enough, because why would we incorporate in a state that makes you pay $800 if we were coming to you from some other state?
Right, exactly.
What's a good state to have a business in?
It depends on what you consider good.
Meaning, I don't ever have to pay taxes or fees.
I don't think that exists.
How rich do you have to be before you can do the shit that, like, Apple gets away with? They call it something like...
You have to be as rich as Apple. That's how rich.
They call it something like the Dutch sandwich with a double side of Irish or whatever. Where, like, you
what?
Have... No, I'm serious. It has a name like that, because what you do is you like, incorporate in Holland or something. It's one of those countries around there where they have the wooden shoes and the windmills. It's in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then you funnel your money. Like, you set up another account in Ireland, and you, like, do this money funnel. And you pay almost no taxes. Certainly less than if you keep the money in America.
See, that should be illegal. They should be cracking down on that shit. Why the hell should rich people not... You know, why the hell should rich people be allowed to totally avoid all taxes?
Well, what I've realized...
That's ridiculous. That can't possibly be legal.
What I've realized now that I've founded my own small business is... that I've been wrong all these years for constantly voting on the more liberal side. I got to start voting Republican because they're the only ones that care about business.
Oh, come on.
And
there's a lot of things that they don't care about that are problematic. Let's just put it that way.
I need a return to the laissez-faire days of yore, where there's no regulation, no taxes, no fees.
That doesn't exist.
And
I don't think that ever existed. You'd have to get... I don't know how far back in the history of the United States you'd have to go for there to be no taxes.
And I can just...
That's kind of how we started, you know, the United States. Part of it was the taxation was a problem from England. I mean, I don't think the thing you're talking about has ever existed here.
I can just go out on some open land somewhere and stake my claim. You can still do that, right?
No.
So if I just went, because I mean, I've been.
Well, there was a group that was trying to do that on land that people already owned, and they wanted to. I can't remember the name, if they were an official group or not, but they wanted to start like a white settlement.
Okay, so there was a group, and they were trying to do what?
Well, there was a group of white supremacists, actually, and they were trying to take over.
I think I remember
Yeah,
this.
They were trying to
it
take
was
over.
In North Dakota?
It was in North Dakota. It was a town called Leith. And yeah. They had a few, there was an older guy that was buying up or trying to buy up houses there, and he was encouraging white supremacists to come to the town and also buy up property and that sort of thing. And how that worked out for them was the people at the town, of course, held a big protest. They let it be known what was going on so that, you know, it wouldn't be like secretly done. The moron that decided this was a good idea and one of his idiot followers decided to march through the town with guns, and they both ended up in jail. So I would not recommend trying to take over a town.
Well, but I wouldn't go out and say start. I mean, I'm not all about that whole white supremacist thing.
No, but I'm saying you're not actually going to get
my town would be a
nice town.
You're not
going to be
able
to take over somebody's land, okay?
All people don't understand where I'm going with this. This is all I want. I just want an area where I get a huge house with utilities, etc. You know, just the basics, running water, electricity, and maybe a 24-hour chocolate fountain, something like that. Nothing unusual, right? Everybody has those. And I don't ever want to pay taxes or give anyone any money.
That's impossible. You'd have to. The only way this can happen is if you're able to somehow, you know, merge yourself into an alternate reality where you were born to a family, where you're just born into a family that is extraordinarily rich to begin with. That's the only way that happens.
So if I could go into an alternate reality and be like Richard Branson's son, does he have any kids?
I don't know. I can look it up if you want, but
no.
I don't know.
I could convince him that I'm his kid. Has anyone tried that yet?
I've not heard of it. I think we might have heard of that if someone had tried.
What if I just go on Twitter? Is that a binding contract?
No. It's not a binding contract, but it is. Twitter is a place that will have you lose your job if you are a complete asshole on it. We've seen that happen.
Well, I'm pre-retired, so that's not a concern. So if I just go on there and I go at Sir Rich Branson, whatever his, I don't know what his Twitter handle is.
I don't even know if he's on Twitter.
Sir Richie. Oh, I'm pretty sure he is. Because people go on there to complain about all his companies.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's actually his account that they're complaining to.
I'm pretty sure that he's on there, but I can go on there and go at Sir Richie. Hi, Dad. Where's my jet? And that will make it a binding contract that he's my unofficial father.
No.
And I get his.
No. Mm-mm. No. No.
So one thing that I want to talk about is in days of yore on our pod O'Plenty over here, we used to play songs from bands. And it was kind of a thing, you know, when we first started doing it, we would play songs in the middle of the shows. And then after time, they kind of migrated to the ends of the shows. Because, as we've already explained, we started back in the early days of pod. And back then, it was kind of cool to play music. Everybody had music on their pods. Well, when we relaunched, I kind of went, you know what? We're not really a music show. Nobody's coming here for music, so we're not really going to be doing that anymore. It's just kind of pointless. I've never had anybody go, oh man, this pod is so great, I love the songs. Now, I don't think anybody's ever actually said, oh man, this pod is so great. But certainly, if anything, the only feedback I ever remember getting about the songs was, hey, I just fast-forwarded through that one. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for fast-forwarding through our content. Hyper-nonsense. Fast-forwardable since 2006. But I do want to talk about this. One artist that we played on our show was, well, technically it was a group called the Johnny Starlings, which was a local band here in San Luisan. By the way, San Luis Obispo is the name of the city we're in, but I don't really care for constantly pronouncing all of those symbols. So a while ago, I renamed it San Luisan. We're pushing that through the city council, but we're not getting a lot of traction yet. The real issue that we're finding in our 502D pack that we formed to rename the town is that they don't want to spend the money to rearrange all the signage, letterhead, etc. So there might, we might have to do like a Kickstarter or something. Anyway, this group, the Johnny Starlings, a local band that I was a really big fan of, and we actually played them. They were the first group that we played on episode one of the original Hyper Nonsense, and the last group that we played. That was kind of in, it kind of felt like a bringing everything full circle, if you will. And we played their music many times in between, I'm sure. Well, the Johnny Starlings were led by a singer-songwriter named Jody Mulgrew, and Jody Mulgrew has a new album out. And I was reading some articles about it in the paper, and he was having some CD release shows here in town, and I wasn't really able to make it to any of those. But I thought, well, I'm still going to get the CD, no doubt about it. And I went on his website, and I ordered it. Now, Jody is not as local full-time as he used to be. He's kind of going between here and Nashville. And, you know, I figured I ordered it through his web, and his web said, expect, you know, 1 to 2 weeks for delivery, and I figured it's fine. You know, I'll get it. It's not a big deal. And, you know, I love stories of great or perhaps unexpected customer service, and I placed the order for his CD on Saturday morning. It was a couple weeks ago. And I get an email about maybe 20 minutes later that says, you got mail. No, seriously, check your mailbox. And I go out there, and sure enough, I've got his right here. I've got a CD, the new album. And the album's called Let Them Talk. And he also gave me a copy of a promotional single that he's been giving out. And he also signed the back of the album. It says, to Sean, thanks, bro, Jody Mulgrew. And I thought, wow, well, that's pretty cool. And with the CDs, he was also giving away digital editions. So you could immediately download the album, which I think is pretty smart.
I've seen some other bands do that. It's really smart. Because then while you're waiting for it to show up, you can still enjoy the music.
It's becoming more and more of a common thing, and it's a really smart thing to do because, you know, people aren't... Because I think there are people who are going to maybe shy away from buying the physical disc, and they're just going to go to iTunes and download it. And they're going to go, well, I don't want to wait for the CD. And I know we're in this post-everything world, and some people just don't want CDs. And I'll admit that over the last few years, I have dramatically cut down the number of physical things I get. And really, these days, I kind of only buy that stuff if I can get it directly through the artist or there's some special thing, a Kickstarter or whatever. So I just thought that was really cool. And the funny thing is, I actually had a feeling that might happen because I knew that, you know, Jody does everything, you know, he keeps things pretty low scale. He does a lot of his stuff, you know, it's very DIY. And I was pretty confident that, you know, he didn't have there wasn't a Jody Mulgrew headquarters in Nashville that was sending these things out. And I knew that he recorded the album locally and all that, so I had this expectation that might actually happen, but I didn't know for sure. So anyway, it was really cool, and I haven't. I've been listening to the album a lot, and there's things about it that I really like, and I haven't completely digested it all, and I haven't come up with a full opinion. And all I'm gonna say is that the thing that I think is particularly cool about this record is I think that Jody is going, this is the first time where I feel like in all of his music, and going back to the Starlings, this is like his, I think, fifth or maybe his fifth album. Because he did two under that name, and I think this is his third solo album. Could be wrong about that. So he's somewhere in that range. Anyway, what I like about this one is it feels like a real departure in some ways from his previous stuff. And I know that, like, for most people, this doesn't mean a whole lot, so I'm not going to go on about it. But
you should note that you obviously liked his previous stuff, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been a fan of his since day one. There's no question about that. I mean, when it was the Johnny Starlings, I was a fan, and everything he's done then, and he's done so much stuff. He's worked with a lot of different people, but this record to me is just particularly interesting because, like I said, it feels like more of a diversion or a departure to some extent from what he's done before. And I think it's cool, and it's very raw and different. And because in the past, Jody's been kind and let us, you know, play his music, I don't think he'll mind if I drop a song, and it'll be at the very, very end of the show. So don't worry if you're someone that doesn't like to listen to songs in pods. So anyway, that's all of that, and we'll go on to the next thing. One thing that I want to mention that I'm very happy about, another thing apparently I'm very happy about, I'm just happy about everything. This is what happens when I have coffee and sugar after 9 o'clock. The world is great.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Aren't you excited?
Oh, sure.
That doesn't sound like excitement to me.
I've been sick for a couple days because we went to the House of Allergens. So...
Don't call my sister's house that.
For me, it is. That's why I'm sick. I wasn't even going to say it was your sister's house, but now that you've done that, yeah, they have many pets and flowering plants with so many bees around them that, Sean, you said you could hear the bees. You could hear them buzzing. It was that many. So I'm a little sick from pollen and dogs and all of that still.
If it's not obvious, I don't know if we actually have any really new listeners. I mean, I don't know who... I mean... We know everybody who was listening before that's, you know, left us feedback and stuff. But if we have any new listeners, Jen is allergic to everything.
Pretty much. That sums it up pretty well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got an email today, speaking of our audience, from Nathan, as I like to call him now, Nathaniel Lott. And he sent me a drawing that he made of the Magneteel. Now, you may remember from a few episodes, the Magneteel. And I think we talked about it on the last show because we had some feedback about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Magneteel...
Asking what it was in reference to, but...
Right. The Magneteel is the mega cockatiel that is made up of other cockatiels.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Nathan actually drew one, and
he sent it.
He did,
and it's so awesome. I really love it.
He sent it to me, so it will definitely be on the website for this episode. And in fact, we'll make that the keyword for this episode. So if you go to hybridnonsense.com/magneteel, MAGNATIEL, that's a magna, as in magneroniminous, and teal, as in cockatiel, TIEL, magneteel. You can see the art there. And maybe, I didn't actually look to see what the... size of the images, but if it's big enough, I'll actually make it the album art for the episode, but that will depend on what the actual image size is. If it's really small, it won't
work.
Yeah,
but it's really cute. It's really cute. It just was making me giggle because it just made me so happy. These three little cockatiels inside a big one. It's just adorable.
If there's anything that... One thing that I genuinely, truly love, it's when people make things based on the, you know, weird... toss off things that we do. And over the years, you know, that's happened more than once. It was the Jetpack Raptor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was the Drangaroo, which was a whole contest we did.
That's right.
The Drangaroo,
yes.
Coloring
the
sheets.
The coloring contest. Uh-huh.
That's a dragon slash kangaroo. Drangaroo. Drangaroo.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thanks to Nathan for that. Now, today is, as we're recording this, is July 1st. And today is a day that is honored by many across the world. It is the Day of Canada, better known as Canada Day.
Well, as you pronounce it, yeah.
And I don't really, I mean, I remember I looked it up once to try to understand where, you know, what the story is behind this. Because a lot of the Commonwealth nations, you know, the ones that couldn't really quite break away from England, they all have these days. Like, there's an Australia Day, there's a Canada Day. And I remember that it had something to do with, it was, and it wasn't even, it's not like it's even a day where a specific event happened, but it sort of celebrates the day that all of the different provinces decided that, oh, well, we may as well have a country. You know, they didn't have to have like a revolutionary war or anything, because we already did that in America, so. By the time the Canadians were thinking about having their own country, England was like, look, we're done with all that. We've already been through that. You can just have your own country. But you can't really, because we're going to have a Commonwealth. And hundreds of years from now, when your parliament gets all rowdy, we're going to send the queen's aide over to tell you all to be quiet. Now, you know where that doesn't fly. That's right. In good old America, baby. We don't need anybody telling us what to do.
I beg to differ. Have you seen our Congress? Somebody needs to tell them what to do. They're not doing anything.
Well, I'll do better than sending the Queen's emissary to the Congress. I will send the Queen, a.k.a. Aunt Queen of Haiku. See what I just did
now
there?
Now, there we go. Now, yeah, that's me on Twitter, at Queen of Haiku. But, yeah, I have things to say, and I would like to walk through Congress, select the ones that vote very badly, consistently very badly, and, you know, instantly turn them into a greeter at Walmart and take them right out of power. That's what I'd like to do.
So, I figure that, you know, over the years, I mean, I've made my fair share of maybe wise cracks, if you will. Jolly time comments in relation to the country that is to the north of us, that wonderful land, that fictional place of fairy dust and glaciers. So I want to heal. What we do here at this pod is we're out to heal the planets. Starting with this one, we'll worry about all the other planets later. Is our show has our show gone interplanetary yet? Do we have a status on that?
Well, we haven't gotten comments yet, so how else would you know?
Can somebody check with our stat service and see if Mars has a user agent?
Well, wouldn't
that's
that
really
mean, that
that's really
rover...
funny. If you, that's really hilarious if you know about pods. Go on.
Okay.
If you know about pod stats.
All right, well, obviously I don't. But yeah, if we're getting feedback from Mars, it's the rover listening to us.
Ooh. Rover. You know, having rovers on Mars, doesn't that give a whole new level of depth to that Red Rover game kids play?
I'm not sure.
Come on.
I'm not sure.
Mars is the red planet.
Yeah, Red Rover. Well, that's, yeah. Wouldn't that be funny? There's a Twitter account for the Mars rover, so I suppose if he's listening, or she, or it, whatever the rover is, they could send us a tweet.
Oh, boy. That would make my day. I would have to quit making pods after that. There wouldn't be any point. Or we could capitalize on that. We could just put out a huge press release. Hyper nonsense. First pod on Mars. Boom.
Yep.
So, because I want to heal the relations between America, our country, and Canada, that other country that allegedly exists, I've decided that the best way to do this is I'm now going to sing the famous Canadian national anthem. Canada, our freedom land of snow, with many moose and polar bears, we have a Tim Hortons for you. Oh, Canada, we stand on ice hockey. Oh, Canada, we are sorry. No, really, we are sorry to thee. Oh, Canada, we apologize to the polar bears.
Wow. I was trying not to crack up so my laughter wouldn't cover up your song.
So we're healing the international everything's over here. So that's really, you know, all we had for the beginning of our show. We had a little bit of feedback we wanted to go over. So do you have your notes over there?
Yep, I got some notes over here. So this comment came from Nathan Lott, and he said, Jen, the term you were looking for as far as the two tracks high school had back when we went was vocational, and of course the one you mentioned, which was college academic based. I remember the vocational building had auto shop, wood shop, typing when I went in 90 to 94.
Teacher talk. It's time for teacher talk.
They were just transferring from electric typewriters to computer word processing for typing class. We used both. And that's from Nathan Lott.
See, I had a thing that I went to, speaking of vocational, because we had that whole discussion about how, you know, at my school, they totally let me down because they didn't want me to go to college. So, but we actually had a vocational center that I went to that was off campus because my school sucked so bad. And that's actually where I got some of my first training in media production, everybody. So, but I do remember, because I really didn't like my high school. I don't know, maybe that's everybody's experience, but I really didn't like mine at all. And I remember when I was a sophomore and I went again to the CRC, Career Resource Center, woo. And I met with the counselor. She said, oh, well, we have there's a whole other school you can go to. And I kind of looked at her and went, wait a minute, I can leave? She said, yeah. It's kind of like they gave me furlough, like on Orange is the New Black.
Oh.
Where Piper gets furlough.
Yeah.
We're watching our way through that show. I know everybody in the world like watched Orange is the New Black, like the whole season on the day it came out. We're watching one episode about every 10 days. So I think we're up to like episode 6 or something.
I think it's more than 6. I think around like 8 or something. But I can't binge watch the show. There's just too much going on in it. I need a minute after that, you know?
I remember when this concept of binge watching really first started to become a thing with DVDs. And, oh man, I remember when DVDs came out. And when DVDs came out with TV shows, that was so, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah, because everyone was like, oh my God, I can watch all the episodes all at once. And then they did.
The only ways before that you could really do that was you would have to either tape shows yourself and just keep your own archive, which I did sometimes, and I'm sure plenty of other people did. Or they would have those ridiculous collections you could buy,
mm-hmm.
where they would have like 2 eps on a tape. Like, I think I actually saw this recently. I don't know, it was in a thrift store or something. And they had a season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer on VHS. and it was like 15 tapes long, and I'm like,
oh my,
what kind of dark ages were we living in?
Yeah, well, it was the best we could do at the time, you know.
And I remember as a kid, and I was so, because I was so obsessed with trying to collect everything. I mean, I did go through periods where I would record my own, you know, I would try to do my own archives where I would, if I thought I would like a show, I would take a tape and I would record, you know, every episode every week as it came out. And I would try to do like really, I don't want to say like really kind of obsessive perfectionist thing. So like the first episode on the tape, I would record the show intro, but then I wouldn't record it with any of the other ones. So you'd only see it the first time. And then I think I would only record the credits on like the last episode. So you'd only see, like you would get, like the tape would start and you'd get like the beginning part, the show intro, show. And then you would run out of tape. So then you'd finally get the credits. And so you could do that, or then you could go out and buy these ridiculous VHS tapes. And I remember that I had signed up for, it was like Time Life or somebody, you know, one of these home things you could subscribe to. And they would send you one episode of Star Trek, the original series, on VHS, like a month. And I signed into it, and I got the first one, and in my mind, you know, I envisioned a time when I would have cabinets full of all of these, you know, Star Trek, everything. Like I was going to get it all. I was going to get whatever was, you know, the original series, the movies, just everything that was out by that point. And this was probably like the late 80s.
Well, I knew somebody that did get all of the episodes of The Next Generation, and it, like, was on VHS, and it took up an entire bookshelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted, part of the reason I wanted that that first TOS tape was because it was the pilot episode that they didn't really air anymore. Because it was that weird one where I think it was called The Menagerie. It was like in two parts. Mm-hmm. And what they had done is they had made an actual Star Trek pilot with sort of an alternate crew, and then they recast the show. If I'm remembering all this correctly, they recast the show, and then kind of the you know, like the actual episode, sort of episode one, they kind of like rehashed, you know, the events of the pilot, and they kind of did a whole alternate storyline thing. And they kind of cut in between the two and all that. And I thought, oh, wow, man, I've never seen that before. And it's probably never on TV. I have to see it. Because I was a nerd. But, yeah, when we first got DVDs, I remember going to the store and seeing those box sets of the TV series and thinking that was so amazing. And I remember there where you and I lived, there was a store that had used, you know, Delton used DVDs. And we went there and we bought, like, I think the first season of Sopranos on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And you had never seen the show. And I had seen it. But we were watching it and we were doing that thing where we were watching, like, maybe three episodes in a row. And by the end of it, I just had this thing in me where I was like, okay, we have to stop watching this or I'm gonna have to go punch somebody.
Yeah, and you're not aggressive.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
so,
but it had that effect on you.
So there is something that happens, I think, and why it's maybe not always so healthy to watch certain shows, you know.
And binge watching them?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
know,
I think
watching
with,
10 in a row.
I think with Orange is the New Black, I think you'd get depressed.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, typically, in each show, you've got, you know, here's a character we're focusing on. This is what got her in prison. And it's usually a really sad situation, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have all the, you know, drama going on in there. But I think it would, you know, I think it would be depressing for me to watch all of them, like, all at once. You know?
Yep.
Plus, I think I'd miss like the little nuances of things going on. Like, I find it fun to kind of watch an episode and go, okay, wait a minute. So this just happened in this episode. I think this might happen as a result, or, you know, maybe it'll be this that'll happen, or how is that going to, you know, I like to think about that and have time to like process what I saw before I see the next one. So,
well, is it not okay to have a little bit of delayed gratification in life? I mean, you sit there and you watch the whole show, and I'm pretty sure they've said, and who's surprised by this, that it will come back for a third season. I don't know if it'll, nobody knows at this point if it'll go beyond that, but, and, you know, it's weird with these Netflix shows because they are the first shows really where they're all, they all come out at once. You know, there's no waiting over a span of 13 or more weeks.
No,
to get everything.
Because they don't have to play by the rules of, you know, well, television. So it's just here you are, you know?
That's their whole model.
Right.
And
I mean, clearly, there's a lot of stuff going on in those shows that would not have made it on television.
Yeah. So you don't have to, though, everybody. You don't have to watch all of it in a day. You can spread it out over at least a couple of days. Take a breather. Go mm-hmm. for a walk.
Yeah, well, I think I'm, like, processing it, like, around the speed if as if it were a book. And I know it was based on a book, and there were differences between the book and the show. But I think that's the speed I'm processing it as, you know? Like, I've gotten used to my book fiction speed. Going at book speed, you know? Yeah.
Book speed, Mr. Sulu.
Right.
So, we got this.
Hey, Jen and Sean. Congratulations on the reboot. Just a little to let you guys know, I think you're wrong about Josh on Facebook being a troll. He is probably more of a hater. You see them on
classifications. We got them.
You know, Apple subreddits, any sort of Apple thing. He has a hatred of Macs that pretty much borders on the irrational. So I basically said, Josh, don't be a hater.
I did see that.
I think he kind of jogged his brain a little bit because I think it was a hot button thing for him.
You called him out.
So what I did was, it sort of, when I called him out on it, it kind of snapped him out of it. Then he talked about his setup and everything else and sort of turned into a human being instead of just another troll. So, congratulations on the reboot, and I'm getting my studio set up and probably going to get my podcast up and going.
Yay!
Cool. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Matt. Did Matt even introduce himself?
I think we just introduced him.
Well, that's Matt, formerly of and perhaps once again of the Intellectually Shallow show. And actually, Matt and I, we play that Words with Friends against each other. And there's really no competition because Matt is unbeatable. You know, like, kind of the course of a game of Words with Friends with Matt is after about four moves in. Because I'm very kind of zen about these games. I really don't pay attention to the score. I just play, and then the game ends. And every time the game ends against Matt, because Words with Friends is this thing where it scrolls up the score, and then it says, and then it plays a little sound if you've won or a different one if you've lost. And I know that when I play against Matt, that it's just going to tell me, like, it's going to be like my score, 270, Matt's score, 40 babillion. Like, there's no...
That's a big difference there.
It would be like if America really did go to war with North Korea. Like, there would just be...
Okay, you lost me there. What?
There would just be... Like, in this case, I'm North Korea. Matt's America. Like, there's just... There's not... Like, it's over in 5 minutes and there's nothing left.
Okay.
That's pretty much the analogy I want to make. If there's one thing that I've wanted to do in the history of pods, it's finally being able to analogize myself to North Korea. So, well done to all of us. So thanks, everybody, for the feedback. Of course, hypernonsense.com is the website. And while Matt recorded his own audio file and emailed it, which you can certainly do, show@hypernonsense.com. But if you don't have that kind of technology available, you can call our voicemail line. And I'll give you the number later in the show because I don't remember what it is yet, and I'm going to have to look it up. So Jen found this article that we have to talk about. Speaking of Canadia Day and bears, I don't know, did we mention bears yet? I know we mentioned polar bears.
Well, we mentioned polar bears, or well, you did in the song.
Well,
did,
it is part of their is part of the national anthem. But this this story does actually come to us from the hinterlands. A young bear fell through an Alaska couple's skylight while they were preparing to celebrate their child's birthday, sending the human scurrying out the room while the bear feasted on cupcakes. Wildlife management coordinator said Wednesday the bear fell through the skylight of the couple's house in Juneau, and it is believed to have been a juvenile male weighing about 82 kilograms. There probably isn't a neighborhood or place where we have homes where the potential isn't there for you to run into a bear or observe a bear, said Ryan Scott of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. There's really no place where the potential isn't there. He really wants to nail that, this guy. He's like, listen, if you come to Alaska, there's going to be bears. There's just going to be bears everywhere. You can't get away from bears. It doesn't matter where you go. If you go into, you know, a Denny's, there's going to be bears. If you go out in the woods, there's going to be bears. If you go to the airport, there will be bears on your plane.
Bears on a plane.
There will be bears everywhere.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The couple's home sits along a mountainside that overlooks downtown Juneau, and Scott said those types of neighborhoods close to trees see more bears. Well, what do you know?
Go figure.
Mm-hmm. Bears are extremely curious and will stake out any source of food they can find, he said. The homeowners, Alicia Bishop and Glenn Merrill, told the Juneau Empire the bear landed in their living room. I was literally in the room and I heard this cracking, Merrill told the paper, describing the sound of the skylight's plexiglass creaking under the bear. And the next thing you know, there's this bear that, I mean literally, fell right from the skylight. It was like 1 meter away.
Wow.
Merrill told the paper he fled into an adjoining room, closed the door behind him, and Bishop said the animal feasted on her infant son's birthday cupcakes. Bishop told the paper she opened a door from the living room that led to the backyard and that the couple yelled at the animal until it casually walked out of the residence. Marilyn Bishop could not be reached Wednesday. Scott said officials believe this bear might have been the same one that entered another occupied home in the neighborhood. Juneau police officers had to kill the juvenile male because it posed a threat to human life.
And that's kind of sad.
Yeah. We don't take killing or destroying bears lightly, Scott said. People were inside the building. I think it was appropriate for that given the situation.
It's kind of an interesting story, though. I mean, you've got this bear for some reason has decided to stand on the skylight. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's standing on the skylight and he falls through the skylight, crashes into the living room. And his first thought is, ooh, cupcakes. You know,
I mean,
then he just went and like, I'm going to eat those.
Imagine if you could, like, if someone said, look, you can win the lottery, but you will only, like, if you agree, like, this is the term, these are the terms, you know, you'll win the lottery or whatever you want to look at it, you know, we'll give you unlimited funds to do whatever you want, but you'll be dead in, say, I don't know, 6 months or a year. Now, most people wouldn't take that bet. But if you did, it's kind of what happened to this bear. Because the bear fell through a light and found cupcakes. Now, I'm not a bear. I've not been a bear. But I think if you're a bear, cupcakes are pretty damn amazing.
They like do like sweet stuff.
They've got,
they
it's got to be, because there's nowhere in, you know, in nature, really, as a bear, that you can just come across that kind of just pure sugar, you know, concentrated sugar that a child's party's, you know, a child's party's worth of cupcakes are going to provide. You just can't get that. They don't have that in the woods.
Well, they're not supposed to be eating that, and probably we're not either, to the level most of us do, but...
So imagine...
Know, I mean, I just, I mean, I'm just shocked, you know, if you fell through a skylight, you would think you'd be like, wow, what happened? Maybe be a little stunned or a little, you know, dazed. Nope, bear just goes, ooh, cupcakes, all right. Yeah.
You know, so you fall through the skylight, you land on cupcakes, you eat them all, and then you have to die. But I mean...
Well, he didn't know that was going to happen.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's like, I can just, I mean, if the bear had just been poking around long enough in people's houses, it was going to get killed anyway. Probably. I mean, maybe they might have tried to trap it.
Well, they may have. I mean, we don't know the history. You know, it's possible that they may have tried to trap it and move them.
Much like when seagulls get the taste for human blood.
Oh, here we go.
When bears get addicted to people food, that's it. Like you can't take that bear. Once that bear's had the sweet, sweet taste of refined sugars, you can't take that bear and then trank it, drop it in the woods, and expect it to, you know, go back to foraging for whatever bears eat in the woods. Salt licks?
Sure.
Trees?
Trees.
What do bears eat?
Whatever they can find.
I know everybody says bears eat honey.
Yeah.
Bears love honey.
They eat a lot of things. Like cupcakes.
See, all we need to do, if we want to fix this bear problem, is we just have, you know, cupcakes out in the woods. We have
just
to
deliver them to a specified place every so often, and you know.
We need to have some sort of you wouldn't really call it that. You would call it something like the bear, the bear encroachment task force. But all they would do is just bake cupcakes and drop them off in locations where bears would go, and then they would just eat the cupcakes, and they would never come into people's houses anymore.
Well, that's a solution, I guess. You know. You need a centralized spot somewhere out there in Alaska where all the bears can get to very easily without trouble, and just bring a bunch of cupcakes all the time.
Someone has to start looking out for the bears.
Yeah.
So I got this article from a little earlier this year. This is actually from Cracked. 6 commonly used phrases that make everyone hate you.
Oh, no. Okay.
Number 6. Guilty pleasure.
Ugh. Yeah.
I feel like this particular phrase, because you hear this a lot in relation to music or TV shows.
Right. You're watching this thing that you know is a piece of crap, but you enjoy it, so it's a guilty pleasure.
I'm going to say...
kind of thing, I guess.
I'm going to say this. As a person who has an awful... A person who has, you know, and again, approaching 38 years of age, you know, I have a lot of affinity for hair metal bands, which is a genre of music that is generally considered to be bad by people.
Well, but, now.
Well, I mean
there was a time that was, you know, that
but
was
the thing about hair metal. I mean, these things come and go. But the thing about hair metal is it's never going to come around the bend. Like, there was a time when everybody hated disco. But,
yeah.
But over time, disco and kind of new wave and all of these other things.
Well, now you've got, you know, indie bands that are influenced by the sound that are pulling that into their
music.
Well,
that's what I mean. Like,
and you do hear some hair metal from that once in a while.
Yeah, but it's kind of been vindicated. Like, people, you know, people can listen to some of that stuff now. I mean, some, you know, it doesn't matter what the genre is. Some of it's cheesy, it's bad. You don't need to hear it anymore. But when people look at certain kind of key artists from those genres, they kind of go, okay, that was all right. But I think when it comes to hair metal, it's always going to be looked down on by most people. And it's one of those things that either you, for whatever reason, and honestly, in my case, it has to do more with the fact that I grew up at the time when it was extremely popular. Now, I think not only do I think, but I know, I believe that there are redeeming factors in it that I'm not going to go into right now. But if I had to give a discussion on it, you know, if I had to have a rational discussion with someone about it, I think I could do it. And I think I could even point you towards songs or artists that you probably didn't know. Because people always think of the same, like, four or five bands. You know, Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, Whitesnake, White Lion, you know. And I like all those bands.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they have parts in all of their catalogs that people don't know, that if they did know, they might be surprised about, or at the very least, if instead of going, oh man, this is, you know, cheesy pop metal crap, you know, you could appreciate some of it. My point in going through all of this is to say, I don't like the term guilty pleasure because I don't feel like I need to take guilt in anything that I like. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, if you like now, it, you enjoy it, so enjoy it.
Now,
understand the need to, like, draw attention to some misplaced feeling of guilt for enjoying something that's like music or a book or a movie or something like that, you know?
The other side of that is, you know, if you like something that is, you know, considered, quote-unquote, to be a guilty pleasure, where you might feel like it's an easy way to explain something away that you like. Well, I feel like instead of doing that, and someone says, oh man, you know, that sucks, that must be like a guilty pleasure, that's the point where you go, no man, I love it, and here's all the million reasons why, and you defend that to your last breath.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's the thing I don't get about the phrase. How are you enjoying it and feeling guilty about it at the same time? How do these two emotions work together? Mm. I don't get that. You either like it or something about it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, I feel like the only time that guilt and enjoyment should go hand in hand is if you're doing something really wrong.
Like, well, then the guilt should be stealing, a sign that you should stop doing
that.
Well,
yeah,
thing.
That's what I mean. Like, you're, you know, breaking into an orphanage and stealing all of their snacks. You know, like, that's not something you should do. And if you're enjoying that, but you're all, you know, then that's actually a guilty pleasure. You shouldn't do that.
Right, but that's not, you know, that's not anywhere the same as just enjoying a movie or a song or a band or a book or video game or whatever.
Number five on this list, coincidentally perhaps, binge watch.
Oh, well, we've covered that. I know people do that. Are they explaining why they don't like this
phrase?
Well,
this is what it says in the article. And remember, everybody, this comes from crack.com.
Which they actually do write some good things.
No, they do.
They do. It's surprising, but yeah.
It says, just looking at this phrase written out is making me want to puke stare. When Netflix started having original content, two things happened. One, everyone rejoiced because it meant we get more Arrested Development. And two, everyone started saying binge watch in regard to how they planned to consume episodes. Numerous articles gave you tips on how to binge watch these episodes, and then with each new show, the question of, but will you binge watch, comes up again and again. Okay, this article goes on to say about binge watching, I love watching episodes of TV back to back to back to back. Networks would even air multiple episodes in a row on special occasions. We call that a marathon, and while I admit that marathon runners probably don't like comparing what they do to me sitting around watching X-Files until my butt falls off, I don't see why we needed to add, quote, binge to my thing. Why so negative? Why can't I just sit around watching Law & Order Special Victims Unit on Netflix for days on end, sans bathing, without everyone telling me I'm doing something wrong?
Okay, that's taking it to a little extreme.
Bottom line, binge is not a word associated with things we are supposed to do, and watching TV is not something I want to have negative connotations.
Oh, okay, so that's where they're going with that. I wondered if it was because binge is something that usually you hear, like binge eating or binge drinking, where it has to do with like an addiction and health, where perhaps you wouldn't want to glorify binge TV watching, so that you wouldn't be glorifying binge anything else. by association, maybe. But other than that, I mean, it's shorter. If you're trying to write on Twitter, you could say, I'm watching 7 episodes all in a row. Or you could say, I'm binge watching this show. And it's probably less characters, I would think. You know?
Or if you're a bear, you might be binge cupcaking.
Maybe, yeah. See, but if you're a bear, I think that's okay. You can binge eat if you're a bear.
Number 4 on this list, the suffix gasm.
Oh, no.
Orgasm, yes. Nerdgasm, foodgasm, shoegasm, TVgasm, vgasm, go to hellgasm. In parentheses, it says, vgasm is like a vegan orgasm, so it doesn't have any dairy and is covered in hemp.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think that's dumb. There's enough words to describe, you know, this thing that I like very much. You don't need to take the word orgasm and kind of like commodify it into some other weird non-word, you know? Get a thesaurus, you know?
I like to think that once a week we have ourselves a big old podgasm.
Yeah, there you go. Bam. See, it never sounds good, though. It just sounds kind of dumb. And I think people that aren't understanding that there are a lot of people that will add gasm to things, there's a possibility they're interpreting whatever it is you're enjoying with the word gasm as you're doing something sexual with it. So there's that connotation. Ooh, that could be kind of a problem too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really changes the whole nature of shoegasm.
Yeah, there. I mean, you know, there are people that will understand, okay, I get what you're saying here with, you know, this non-word, but there are those that are going to be innocent to that and really wonder about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, number 3. Literally.
What's wrong with literally?
Well, it's become this thing where people are sort of getting tired of people saying literally when they're trying to really emphasize something. Like, this is what it says. This is what the article says. I think what we need to kill this one is for a singer to record a song called Literally that gets the word wrong over and over again. Yes, just like the mid-90s, and Alanis Morissette destroyed our ability to properly use the word ironic. Now we can't get enough of saying and misusing literally.
Well, I think that's just lack of education.
Everyone on the internet is literally dead right now, or literally can't, or literally just peed their pants. And if that were all true in a literal sense, then, well, the internet is a more disturbing place than I imagined. David Cross's 2002 takedown of the word is hilarious and worth a watch, but the fact that was over 10 years ago and it's still a problem is troubling. So, yeah, I'm sure that I went through a phase where I did that, but I've gotten over it.
Well, I think there was a phase during the 80s where that was sort of popular slang.
I don't think it was in the 80s. I think it was way later than that.
Really?
I seem to remember it.
I don't remember exactly.
I don't know. I seem to remember it in about the last 10 to 15 years where more and more times people were using literally as in, you know, a point of emphasis.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm thinking of then. But you know,
they would go, I literally saw a bear eat all the cupcakes.
Well, if you were standing in the living room, then yes. But if not, no.
Yeah. Try to emphasize like the most boring things, you know, like I literally went to the ATM. Oh, and I got money out. Literally.
Like, well, they're using it correctly though, because they actually did the thing.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, to use it incorrectly would be something like he's referring to, like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I just watched the last episode of Orange is the New Black and I literally died.
Yeah.
Obviously you didn't. You're talking okay. to me, you know? It's like that.
Okay. Number 2 on this list is that awkward moment. So it says that awkward moment is basically supposed to be followed by a universal anecdote. That awkward moment when you fall asleep in class and then randomly twitch violently being an example.
Wow.
But now, as with most memes, it seems more of an opportunity to bring up what is essentially a humble brag. That awkward moment when you have dinner at Kathy Griffin's house for a work function would be a good example.
Oh, God.
Of a dickish one I could have said a couple jobs ago.
Oh, my God.
But basically, everything about this is redundant. The internet and human interaction in general is about finding shared experience and pointing them out so that other people can say, whoa, wait, I feel that too. So there's no need to put in this restrictive, awkward moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people are setting it up so that they're using it to signal they're about to tell you something funny. Or yeah, they want you to perceive as funny, even if they're trying to brag about it.
That should actually be, you know, kind of awkward, where it'd be like, you know, that that awkward moment where the guy on the bus just stands up and starts singing the Canadian national anthem for no reason. Like,
yeah,
that at least has some air of awkwardness and strangeness, but not, you know, oh, that awkward moment when I go into work and get a raise, you know?
That's not an awkward moment, generally speaking. So I think that they're right about that. People are using it for some reason to kind of say, look at this cool thing I did. Aren't I amazing? But I think it really should be used in the awkward moment of something actually awkward happening, you know? Yeah, like I think Will Wheaton uses this on Twitter, pretty well.
Yeah.
Like I think he does it pretty well. I can't think of a specific example, but I know he talks about like his dogs all the time.
Right.
You know, so he might have said something to the line of, you know, that awkward moment when describing something his dog had done or something, and it's awkward, and it works. But he's not like bragging about how amazing his dogs are or anything, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And number one on their list is Amazeballs.
Oh, God.
Amazeballs for when you can't possibly just say amazing and also want to alert everyone that you think balls are great.
Yeah. You've also added sort of a strange connotation to whatever you're talking about there, you know?
Since when do we use the word balls like that? The mere fact that the phrase was popularized by Perez Hilton should give you an idea.
Oh, no.
Of where we should place it in our cultural experience. Total amazeballs, YOLO, hashtag whatever.
Oh, God, block, you know, bye.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah. Can I add one to the list?
Oh, please.
Blessed.
Oh, yeah.
Or hashtag blessed. Now, there are some times where that works, you know, like, I don't know. Nearly got into a car accident, but my brakes worked. Blessed. Okay, yeah, your life was saved, right? But, I mean, there's people that, like... They use it, you know, I just got these really expensive shoes on sale, hashtag blessed, you know? Like, no, that just means you have money. You're bragging about having money.
Yeah.
You know? Or they'll use it kind of in a subtweet way when they're pissed at someone else, you know?
Yeah.
And not only do they want to subtweet about the person, but they'll also want to inject a righteous sense of their own religion into it, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Like,
I do.
Like, I've never had to wait for my food stamps checks to come in to feed my family dinner. Hashtag blessed. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess it's not really a check anymore. It's like a card, but that kind of thing, you know?
Like, you don't know about it.
There's very few people on the internet that are using blessed in a way that really does feel like you are thanking God, whatever God you believe in, for something fortunate in your life. They're using it as a way to, like, harass people or to say, aren't I amazing? You know?
So, I could have, you know, I could have had a tweet recently where I said something like, you know, that awkward moment when it turned out I had enough money on my EBT to cover all my groceries, hashtag blessed.
I guess. Yeah, somewhere in there, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, but I've seen that, the hashtag blessed, you know? Yeah.
See,
and
it's
most of the ones I've seen, they're using it kind of as a threat.
See, I think that the real proper, you know, proper usage for hashtag blessed on Twitter should just be if people, you know, tweet that they're having a bad day at the Pope or something, or they're having, you know, they've got a problem. You know, nothing too serious. And then he would just, you know, reply them, hashtag blessed.
Yeah. Dear at Pontifex, I'm having a horrible day. Could you help me? Hashtag blessed.
See?
And he'll get a tweet back with, you know, a Hail Mary or something in there, you know?
Or maybe they come home from the animal shelter with a new Kitta, and they want to make sure that Kitta is in good shape with the Lord, and they don't have time to go to a priest, because I'm pretty sure if you're Catholic, you have to take your pets to get them blessed, right? Isn't that a thing? So you can just
I'm not
hashtag,
too sure about that.
You can just amp the Pope,
yeah.
You know, like, please make sure my Kitta is saved by the Lord, and then hashtag blessed, at whoever you are, hashtag blessed.
Yeah, there you go. And then he'll just pray for your kitty when he has, you know, time to go through his Twitter, you know, of course. That's how it works, right? I mean, why not? You know, this Pope was one of the things he tweeted out was to the effect of there was a prayer week. I can't remember the exact name. It had something to do with youth. And if you attended it, then you got a certain amount of time off of what you'd be spending in purgatory because you attended it.
Nice.
But then he decided, well, that's typical. Okay, really. But then he decided that if you're attending it online, you know, you're paying attention to it on Twitter or some other social media, that you should also have, you know, time taken off of purgatory for paying attention to this and being sort of engaged in it or aware of it in some way. So why not bless your kitty through Twitter, right?
Maybe that's just a service we can start. We just have non-denominational pet blessings.
There you go. Yeah, that would be great.
I know that there's, you know, there's like you can just get, you know, mail order, what do they call it? Like where you can become a person that does like marriage ceremonies stuff.
Yeah.
You just get that through the mail.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we can just get one of those.
Okay.
And then we'll do non-denominational pet blessings on Twitter. NDPB.
Yeah. So it'd be something like, you know, they would tweet us about their cat that they just got from the shelter or whatever, and we would tweet back, you know, at whoever the person is, Mr. Stripey Pants Cat, you've been hashtag blessed. And
you
there
got
they
it.
Go. Yeah.
Bam.
Mm-hmm.
Done. All right. Well, you got anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's probably it.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to our podgasm. One thing we would love would be for you to spread that podgasm all over your socials.
Wow. Okay, then.
We like to call it a porgy, a.k.a. a pod orgy. You can take that podgasm, put it on your Facebooks, your Twitters. Just link to hypernonsense.com and go, this pod gave me a podgasm. And everyone can get their own just
sure,
by subscribulating.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, if you go to our webs, on the right-hand side, on the sidebar, though, if you go on the mobile webs, if you're one of these kids with the fancy phones in your pockets, or you're on the new iWatch, if you're one of these beta testers deep inside the bowels of Apple headquarters, and you got one of these fancy new watches that all the people are speculating about, well, you take your mobile Safari on your watch area, and in that case, it'll actually show up, the sidebar shows up on the bottom. It's called Responsive Technologies. We have them. We're in the future. But you can see all the subscription options there, whatever you like, iTunes. So if you're not currently subscribed, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. And if you would like the show to be on an app or platform that we're not currently on, you just email us, show@hypernonsense.com, or leave a message. And we'll do our best to get it there. And we do love your feedback. And you know what? I was going to do a thing that I'm going to do right now. Type in on the keyboard. And waiting for things to load. I'm so glad we have this wonderful music. I got to click on things. And I got to wait for them to load. And then press this button. And scroll. And you can call our voicemail at 206-600-9832. That's a 24-hour number. You can call anytime and leave us a voicemail.
And you won't be waking us up.
No.
Not at all.
So thanks for listening, and we'll be back at you next week.
Bye, people.
We'll be right back.
is the saddest day. This is the happiest day. This is the saddest day I've ever known. I've ever known. Consume a sunset. Wildfire sky. Treacherous heart. Beating down the dark until we see the ever known.